Well, welcome to all of you that, like me, are not on staff, but came in tonight to pray with the staff for the conference that is this weekend. It's a real privilege to be here. And my role is just to lead us in a quick meditation on scripture that leads us into prayer. Prayer is the entree, and the devotion is kind of the side dish tonight. We want to really pray and ask the Lord's blessing. And to do that, I want to just take you to one verse tonight. And it's a verse that is apropos because it's a verse about fruitfulness, on how we can come to the place where we enjoy even abundant or abounding fruitfulness. And I think it leads in, as you'll see, to prayer. It talks about prayer. And I want to just give you a very simple reflection and actually invite you to help me as we unpack one verse and then apply it to the conference, but really beyond the conference, because I have a hunch I'm with people that would love to see God's fruit in our families, God's fruit in our churches, God's fruit in our country, God's fruit in our world. So we want to pray even bigger than just this weekend. We want to pray that the Lord would be working this weekend for sure, but well beyond that. And the verse that I want to take you to is from our Lord Jesus himself in John 15 and verse 7. And what I thought I would do is I'm going to make a little equation out of this that will be a simple reminder of some key concepts. And, an equation, this plus this equals this, that kind of an equation. So tonight I have a simple equation for you. And in one sense, it's simplistic because you know the scriptures. There's more involved in fruitfulness than what is packed into one verse. But on another hand, it's kind of gets to the nub of it, gets to the heart of it. And while more could be said, this would all be foundational to anything that we would say about fruitfulness in God's economy. So that's where we want to go. John 15 and verse 7 is our verse where Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask," there's our reference to prayer, "ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." And then verse 8 adds, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." So as we put together a brief equation, we'll start with, it'll be a three words equation. Our first word will be abide. Jesus says, if you abide with me. You notice he starts with if. In the New Testament text that it was written in Greek, it's called a conditional clause or a third class condition, which is the idea that this is possible, but it's not a done deal. That this is something that Jesus is saying to his disciples. This is available to you, but it's not automatic for you. As we'll see, there's a condition baked into this. And the condition is here in verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. The word abide is kind of the key word, isn't it, John 15, or remain, some of our translations say. If someone asks you to define in a short way, maybe for a grade 6 student, what does it mean to abide in Jesus? What would you say? How would you put that in simple terms? What does it mean? What's he saying when he says, if you abide in me?
Rest.
If you rest in me, okay? What else would you say?
Remain.
Remain in me. Remain in what sense, Tim? What's that?
Stay close to me.
Stay close to me. Abide. Live. The word actually has a link to the word for house. So it's like where you dwell. Dwell in me. But here, he actually expands it. He said abide, abide, abide. It comes in. But here he adds another little phrase that colors it even more. He says, if you abide in me, what's the next phrase? And my words abide in you. I don't think those are necessarily two different things. I think they are linked. They're talking about first our union with Christ, but he says that's going to involve having my words live in you. So you live in me, let my words live in you. There's this beautiful flow. And the imagery that he uses here is branch and a vine. And we get that. When the branch is abiding in the vine, there is life that's going from the branch to the vine. There is a flow there. And Jesus is saying, you stay close to me and let my word stay close to you. So what do you think it means to abide in his word? If you had to explain that to someone, say a grade school student, and he said, this is what Jesus said, abide in my word. Let my words abide in you. What do you think he's saying there?
believe my word.
Okay, so it's if my word's binding you, it's more than just even knowing them. There's going to have to be some form of accepting them or taking them in, taking them to heart. Good. Rob?
Doing what it says?
Yeah. So it's not just acknowledging my word, it's aligning your life to them. And that will involve meditating on it or knowing it, learning it. It's like you soak yourself. I like to, when it comes to the idea of meditating on God's word, I think a helpful illustration of that comes very nicely in summer, and that is marinating. Meditating is a bit like marinating. You know, you put the meat in the marinade, and then you just let it soak up the flavors of the marinade. I think Jesus is saying, I want my word to be what you marinate it, what you dwell in, what you live in. And as Rob said, it's not just that you learn it, you memorize it, you can win all the Awana verses and, you know, get your prizes. It's not just that. It's that you align yourself to it. Obedience. Back in John 14, Jesus says, He who loves me will keep my commandments. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We'll abide with him. So he's saying the first thing we have to do is abide. If we want to get to where we get to fruitfulness, which is going to be here, it starts with abiding in Jesus. So I just want to remind us tonight as we pray, would you make part of your prayer that we as a team, that Faith Mission as a group, that those of us who come would be poising ourselves, positioning ourselves to be fruitful by abiding close to Jesus, that we thirst for him. We want to be close to him. We want his word in our hearts. We read his word. We soak in his word. We memorize his word. We meditate on his word. The psalm that Tim read talks about, I meditate on you in the night watches. My soul shall be satisfied as with fat and rich foods when I meditate on you in the night watches. So there's this idea that the word of Christ dwells richly in us, as Paul says in Colossians 3. So that's our first part of the equation. But that's not all. It's not just, Jesus doesn't just say, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. He does say that earlier, but here he actually adds one more step on the way to fruitfulness. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. And then he says, ask. Did you see that in verse 7? You abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So evidently he wants us not only to abide in him and his words abide in us, then he wants us to ask, to pray. And he gives one of those statements that actually can make us feel a little uncomfortable, like this could easily be misused. He says, ask whatever you wish. Like blank check. Write the amount in, whatever you want, write it in, and it will be done for you. Now, there have been people who take this verse and make it into getting Mercedes and houses in the mansions and fill in, like, as I said, Jesus said, you abide in me, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. What would you say to explain it to a grade 10 student on why we probably wouldn't go with the idea that you can just say, Lord, I would really like to be the king of the universe, or I would like to have $1 million in my bank account. What would you say? Because he says, ask whatever you wish. Sam?
When you abide in Christ and his word abides in you, you want what God wants.
Okay, so his word is framing our desires. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in other words, my desires have been brought underneath the abiding in Christ. What he's about, I become about, because his word is living in me. So that would be a huge part. I'm not going to ask for foolish things like that, because that's not what Jesus' word in me is for me in my life. What else would you say? Look at the next verse. Does it give a little bit of qualifying, or at least aligning a little further?
This is to my Father's glory?
Yes. So right after he says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done, this is to my Father's glory. Evidently, you getting the answer to your prayer is to be something that glorifies the Father. And then he even says further, he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. So the context of John 15 is all about bearing fruit. So when he says, ask whatever you wish, he's not starting from nothing. He's starting from the context of saying, let's talk about a life that's fruitful, that glorifies God. In that kind of life, I want you to ask. I want you to ask, because he even says in verse 8, it's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Evidently, Jesus is not afraid of us over-asking when it comes to fruitfulness. In fact, if anything, he's probably knows us too well to say, we're going to under-ask. We're going to settle. We're going to just say, well, Lord, we know who we are. We're just these tiny little people. We know we don't have much chance of seeing much happen. And he said, no. We want to see much fruit to the Father's glory. So really, the equation goes this way. You abide in Christ's word, you ask in Christ's name, and the equal is you abound in Christ's fruit. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So I thought tonight, as we go to prayer, I would like us just to take a moment before we... I think, Tim, you're going to be leading us in our prayer time. Before we even get to praying for a few specific requests and then talk about... I would like to start with just a moment of silence that we can pray privately about this area of abiding. Mm-hmm. And say, Lord, search me and know my heart. Mm-hmm. Try me and know my thoughts. Mm-hmm. See if there be any wicked way in me. Is there some ways that I'm out of alignment with you right now? For those of us who are husbands, am I out of alignment with my wife? Because 1 Peter 3:7 says, if I'm not living with my wife in an understanding way, will hinder my prayers. Am I in alignment with anyone else? Are there relationships that I need to say, Lord, I've been hanging on to something that I need to let go? Whatever it is that the Lord says, why don't we take a moment to make sure we're aligned with Him, we're abiding in Him. And then I'll close off that season, and then we'll move to the asking. And Tim will ask you to lead us through that. Okay? So let's pray. Let's just pray quietly and silently. And personally, right now, each allowing the Lord to speak to us and for us to speak to Him. Heavenly Father, you who search all of our hearts, nothing is hidden from your sight. So none of us can run and hide. As David prayed in Psalm 139, where can I flee from your presence? If I make my bed in heaven, you're there. If I go to the depths of the earth, you're there. So Lord, rather than run from you, we run to you. And we say, Lord, if there's anything in us that's hindering that abiding life, and Lord, I can think of some areas in my life that are just constantly pulling me away from you. I want to surrender those afresh and say, Lord, I want to be near you. I want to be close to you. I want to dwell in your presence. I want to get rid of anything that's causing distance or disruption to the union that you've meant us to have. I pray for my brothers and sisters here tonight. Lord, you know us. You know that we are weak and fallen and frail. But you also know that we're dearly loved in your name, because you died for us. We come boldly before the throne of grace, and we ask for the forgiving grace of Jesus, your Son who died for us. We ask for that to be applied afresh to our hearts so that we can come into your presence as those who've been loved, forgiven, cleansed, and filled. And now, Lord, we turn our hearts to doing what Jesus said, is that we want to ask. We want to ask in your name. We don't want to settle for what we think we can accomplish. We actually want to ask for what only you can accomplish. So I pray you would hear our prayers tonight. I pray that it would be done to the glory of your great name, that there would be an abundance of fruit this weekend. But Lord, far beyond that, in the ministry that Faith Mission carries on, in the ministry of the churches we represent, in the work of your Spirit across Canada and around the world, Lord, we enter in and we join with other believers and pray, oh Lord, do your work and do it in an exceedingly abundantly great way, so that we praise you and you receive the glory that is due to your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.